Welcome to the Love-O Show podcast. Conversations with outstanding human beings whose love has been inspired and transformed by Osho. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Swami Anand Karunesh. Karunesh's spiritual journey started in 1972 and he took sannyas from Osho in 1976. Karunesh has been teaching meditation for over 35 years and runs a weekly radio show called Follow Your Joy. I'm so happy to have Karunesh on the show and I hope you enjoyed. Karunesh, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am very happy to be able to be spending time with you today. Thank you so much, Swaram, for inviting me and having me.
It's my absolute pleasure to be speaking with you. So, to start, tell us a little bit about how you came across Osho.
Well, that's a story that, in fact, I love talking about. Meeting Osho dates back into the 1970s, which tells you that I'm a dinosaur, of course. And I was very busy in those days with meditation and practicing. I was very passionate about meditation already then. Starting in 1972, meditation became indeed my passion. And then I went to the Himalayas in 1975. And the truth was, I was looking for my master. I was conscious that I went to the Himalayas to find my master. And I must say, I didn't. But looking back, I know why I didn't, because my master was in Pune. So in 1976, I began to really meditate very intensely. And one of the things I love to do is I love to take a very strong coffee at 10 p.m. in the evening, and then I meditated all night long. And so during that time, I had a very, very interesting experience. And I think this experience of how I met Osho, the way I'm going to present to you, is pivotal in the way to understand my relationship with Osho. So in February 1976, I went to sleep finally around 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I had a dream. And in this dream, a man approached me, and he said to me, "We are supposed to meet. You are having a meeting with me. You're getting late. You better go." And so the man said, "Go." And in this dream, I ran off, and the rendezvous was in the middle of a forest. And in the middle of this forest, there was a clearing. And in the middle of this clearing, there was a mirror. And there was the man behind the mirror, and he said to me, "This mirror is for you to see yourself. Do you want that?" And I said, "Yes, I really do. Please, please." So I sat down in front of the mirror and I couldn't see anything because the mirror was not positioned in the correct angle. So the man behind the mirror touched the mirror. He could touch the mirror. I couldn't touch the mirror. I had no power to correct the mirror's position. The man behind the mirror touched it and positioned it correctly in front of me, and I looked into the mirror in that moment, and the moment I looked into the mirror, I saw myself and I exploded. It was absolutely the only way I could describe this. It was a nuclear explosion, and my consciousness exploded into all directions. It was an absolutely incredible experience, because from the limited normal state of consciousness that I was in, I changed in a split second to, well, infinity. And there was infinity. There was an incredible, incredible power. There was presence. There was light. And importantly, there was an incredible electricity. The electricity that went through my body, it was like an electrocution of sorts, I must say. The electricity was so strong that, remember, this is still a dream, right? Electricity was so strong that it made me wake up, and I woke up and I looked into the corner of my room, and there was a book, and on the cover of the book, there was the face of a man. It was the same man from the dream.
Let me guess who that face was.
Yes, you may guess who that was.
Okay, that's wonderful. So it seems you have a deep spiritual longing since very early age that brought you to yes. Himalaya to look for a master. And then you had this incredible dream and this kind of esoteric meeting with Osho in the dream. And then, of course, you found your path in Osho.
I knew where I had to go. Everything was clear.
And the thing is, Osho is no more in the body today. So how did that affect your spiritual growth compared to the time when you spent, I think you spent several years in the presence of the master in the body, and now, you know, for many other years, you have been living without a master in the body?
That's a very, very relevant question. And first of all, it's important that I say to you that I spent 5 years in Pune, and I saw Osho pretty much every day for his morning talks. And meditation was still my passion, and I spent 5 years in Pune, and I meditated about 5 hours on an average every day. And perhaps that is responsible for building a relationship with the master. The thing that is incredibly encouraging for me to be able to share with you is, for me, Osho is not at all dead. And when they say, oh, he left the planet, that's not my experience. He didn't leave the planet either. He is still accessible. Maybe it has to do that, you know, meditation remains the center of my life. I do a lot of intensives these days. I meditate 5-6 hours a day, many, many days. And I teach people meditation in intensives. We meditate 8 days. 10 hours a day. So in that context, I continue to have these kinds of experiences that I had 42 years ago. I'm so grateful to say that I meet Osho the way I explained to you before. I meet Osho 3 or 4 times a month, exactly like that.
Okay, so we'll talk about meditation just in a moment, but I'd love you to expand a little bit more on what you mean when you say that you meet Osho the same way you met Osho when he was in the body.
I have darshan and dream.
Okay, so basically during the night when you dream, he comes to you.
That's right.
So similar to the experience you had the very first time you met him in the dream.
That's very similar. And when that happens, you know, it's like you get the kiss from God. And my body cries all night long when I meet Osho. I spend all night long with him, and my body just cries and cries and cries.
So it seems like if you have like a physical reaction, you that kind of electricity experience that you described before, is that something that happens to you when you have the darshan with Osho in the night?
Extremely. The, you know, meeting Osho, the fusion with Osho, you feel it in every atom of your body. I mean, everything in your body is touched and changed because you are touched by the great silence.
Personally, in my meditation experience, I had moments where something happens that, you know, I can't describe, I don't know what it is, but there is something happening, especially when I connect deeply through the heart with Osho and practice his meditation. So, you know, I resonate with what you're saying. I don't have regular meetings once a month. It does happen without notice, and it's very unpredictable, but occasionally it does happen, and it's very, very fulfilling and wonderful.
We say that we know that Osho has left his body, so to speak, in 1990. That means that he's gone for 28 years. For me, Osho is an ongoing experience, and he's not dead at all. He's very, very accessible. He's very, very tangible. And the reason why I say that is I'm really lucky to say that I meet Osho continuously in my dream time. That continues. And, you know, when I meet Osho, the real meeting of Osho is that you experience no mind. And you go into a no mind state where your thoughts stop and your consciousness becomes completely silent. And that continues to happen to me. And the last time was actually last Monday at 10:30 in the morning. When that happens, when you go into the silence, every atom in your body is relieved. You have no limitations. Your consciousness is no more limited. Your consciousness is silent, and your consciousness is infinite. I do realize that that sounds overwhelming, but the experience itself is overwhelming. We're not used to anybody say, you can have unlimited consciousness, but that's what Osho is to me. Osho to me is unlimited consciousness, unlimited silence. And if you approach Osho, a man or a man like Osho, what you will meet, if you are open and receptive, what you will experience an absolute expansion of your consciousness. Your consciousness will go into silence. Your consciousness will go into no mind. And no mind, let's remember Patanjali, who wrote the Yoga Sutras, he said, Yoga Chittam Vritti Niroda. It means yoga happens when your mind becomes completely still. And that's real and true yoga. And when you meet Osho, you will experience this silence, this incredible expandedness of your consciousness.
And I guess that's probably the reason why you never felt the need, or perhaps I should ask you this question, if you ever felt the need to be with a master in the body after Osho left, and if not, it's possibly due to what you just said, that you do have contact with Osho even today.
When I left Pune in 1981, I had several occasions to see other teachers like the Dalai Lama and so on and so forth, you know. And I said to myself, they don't even compare to Osho. So what I'm saying is that Osho spoiled me forever, because once you meet Osho, you know, nobody that you might meet afterwards will compare. You know, you say to yourself, my gosh, you know, the Dalai Lama is just like a little baby next to Osho. I'm sorry to say that. But Osho spoiled
Look,
me.
Look, don't be sorry. I'm actually, this is music to my ears, because I find myself in conversations with people nowadays, and somehow it deeply, I feel like a little bit sad inside that people put Osho on the same level of, I don't want to make names, but you whatever is around nowadays, however beautiful they might be and however many people they might help, but it's like mixing one of the greatest Buddhas ever walked on planet Earth with little babies, as you say. So, you know, we kind of diluted the whole thing, and I'm so glad you're saying this.
Well, it might sound snobbish to say that, but, you know, Osho is a master among masters, you know, and if you want the connection with Osho, really, then what I do suggest is that you practice Guru Yoga. Let me explain to you what Guru Yoga is. Guru Yoga, they say, is the fastest yoga in the universe, because you focus on the master. Guru Yoga means that you focus on the master's face, you focus on the master's name. And one of the things that I really, really recommend is that you listen to an Osho talk once a day. Listening to an Osho talk once a day, that is serious Guru Yoga. And if you listen to me, especially before going to sleep, if you listen to Osho talk on YouTube, and fortunately there are many YouTube videos with Osho, before sleeping, you are programming and you are conditioning your nighttime and your dream time. And that's a really important thing. To meditate before sleeping, to spend time with Osho before sleeping, gives you a heightened possibility of meeting Osho in spirit.
That's a wonderful suggestion. And in fact, you know, that's, we do it, my partner and I, very often we put Osho in the evening before going to sleep. And I personally use it a lot when I have restless nights. I listen to Osho and it really calms me down. Or even if I don't fall asleep again, I spend this beautiful time in the company of this wonderful being. And also in the morning, we do it again. So when we wake up and we meditate and then we put Osho, or at any opportunity, really, we try to squeeze Osho in our day because it's this connection that is so valuable. So yeah, that's great to hear that. It's a proper practice. I never heard of guru yoga, but we do it instinctively, spontaneously. It happens that, you know, we want to connect and hear his voice.
You are guru yoga practitioners.
Without knowing it, okay.
That's right.
Great. So the next topic I wanted to discuss with you is that many sannyasins in the world of Osho learned from him, imbibed his vision, and then they went off to develop various type of therapies, courses, workshops, and often encouraged by Osho himself. And in fact, I'm comfortable to say that the groups within the world of Osho are world-class, top quality in the field of human development, no doubt about that. But you seem to be going in a different direction. You are more focused on meditation. And the same is for me, for example. So I'm curious to hear, how is that?
Well, that has to do with the fact that I practiced meditation years before I met Osho. I had a very, very strong passion for meditation. I went to the Himalayas in 1975. I went to the Tibetan border. I actually did meet yogis and very high-powered yogis that helped me, but they did not really represent the answer that I was looking for. I was looking for a master, and I wanted to have a master-disciple relationship. I was consciously looking for that. And so meditation, because I was trained by an Indian yogi several years before I met Osho, I was doing asanas, pranayama, mantra meditation, kriya meditation, and I practiced that, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day. And that very intense focus, then when Osho when I experienced Osho in this nuclear explosion, in this fusion with Osho consciousness, because Osho consciousness is what? Osho consciousness is infinite consciousness. Osho consciousness is infinite silence. Osho consciousness is no mind. When you get really close to Osho, you will experience no mind. You will experience the great silence. And when you experience the great silence, every atom in your existence will experience relief. That's who Osho is. Osho is infinite consciousness. So when I came to Pune, I simply continued to meditate. I did, you know, Soma groups. Soma group was a 14-day group where you learned many esoteric meditations. I did other groups like Enlightenment Intensive, where for 12 hours a day you ask, who am I? So if you wanted to, you could meditate and do therapy in Pune 12 hours a day for years, you know. And I did a little bit of that. I did Vipassana meditation. I did 70 days of Vipassana meditation during the 5 years that I was in Pune. It means you meditate 12 hours a day. When you meditate 12 hours a day, it's impossible not to meet Osho.
That's great to hear. And I mean, fair to say that even today, if people want, they can go to Pune and they can do meditations all day long. You know, that's the first time I went there. That's what I did. You know, I had such fire and passion for meditation, and I was doing one meditation after the other for the whole day and night.
Well,
so and I'd love to now.
You're a yogi.
Well, a little bit of amateur compared to you, to be fair. You know, I wish I had the same fire and passion. You know, I do. I'm very interested in meditation, but and I've spent long periods and meditated for hours and hours. But I also decided to live in the world, and I go to work, and I have to say, you know, I try to meditate at least an hour per day, but it's a bit challenging. In fact, I'd like to ask you in a moment some recommendation and tips for people who want to meditate but struggle with finding time and a way to do it. But before we get there, I personally experienced that the path of awakening and meditation can be difficult at times, and there are lots of pitfalls on the way.
That's true.
And for me, I found that meditating with other fellow seekers and sannyasins specifically is a great help. So,
of course.
Can you talk about the importance of what Buddhists call Sangha, which means the community of meditators, particularly in the world of Osho?
All the great masters have emphasized the necessity of doing group work. Osho talks about it. Gurdjieff talks about it. Many great masters talk about you must work with a group. And the reason why you must work with a group is that the group force itself, Sangha, will create a meditation field that's much, much stronger than anything you could create yourself. And many times, you know, when I was in Pune, during those 5 years, originally when I arrived there were not really that many people. You could have about 200 people that were there, 300 people. And then the German magazine Stern wrote this very article about Osho, and the result was that thousands and thousands of Germans started coming, and then the work really exploded. Many, many people came, so you could easily meditate 500, 800 people every day. If you meditate with 500, 800 people every day, your meditation becomes very, very powerful. So Sangha is a necessity. That's why also in Pune, we did have a lot of times we had a singer that was singing the three Gacchamis: Buddham Sharanam Gacchami, Sangham Sharanam Gacchami, Dhammam Sharanam Gacchami. I take refuge in the Buddha, I take refuge in the Sangha, I take refuge in the ultimate truth. I'm going to sing it to you, listen to me. Buddham Gacchami, Sangham Sharanam Gacchami, Dhamma Gacchami. Osho Sharanam Gacchami.
Wow, that's wonderful, and thank you for singing for us. That's the first time that someone sings live spontaneously on the podcast. That's beautiful. And and in fact, I read a book where Osho was saying that this is the only mantra, or it's not properly a mantra, but it's one of the only things that Osho really loved. And in fact, he introduced this in his commune in Oregon. I think you guys had to chant this mantra regularly at different times of the day.
Well, I wasn't in Rajneeshpuram, but it started in Pune, and it was Taru, the Indian singer Taru, who was singing it. And the important thing is also that Osho changed the sequence. In traditional Buddhism, the sequence is Buddham Sharanam Gacchami, I take refuge in the Buddha. And then the next one is Dhammam Sharanam Gacchami, I take refuge in the universal truth. And the third is Sangham Sharanam Gacchami. And Osho changed the sequence, and he made it to the second. And the reason why he did that is, he said, the Buddha and the Sangha is more important than the universal truth, because you will get to the universal truth through the Buddha and through the Sangha. And that's why he made Sangha number two. In Buddhism, it is number three. And this is really important.
Well, thank you so much for clarifying that, because I got confused. I remember listening and this in the world of Osho for the first time, but then also traveling and being among other Buddhists when they sing, they switch, you know, it's different. And I've noticed that and I couldn't kind of make up my mind. And that's now you are explaining it to me for the first time. So I really thank you for that. And it's very relevant yes. that Sangha comes before. So which brings back to the question and which confirms that it's so, so important, especially in the world of Osho, to get together with other people and meditate together. It's very nourishing. So thank you.
What Osho is saying is that you meet God through people, and so therefore people are more important than God in a way.
Yeah, and the way I experience Osho's people is that everyone somehow carries... Actually, Osho said it himself. You know, when I'm gone, my sannyasins will carry me around everywhere they go. So we all carry some kind of energy. So now let's go into something a little bit more practical, because of course you've been meditating a lot and you're very determined, very focused. What would be your advice to people who are specifically into Osho and want to start a meditation practice, but they struggle with that? What can be helpful in your experience?
I want to go back just one more moment to what happens if you get to be close with Osho. Osho said that I will be disseminated in my people. And this is extremely true and extremely tangible. The closer you get to Osho, what happens is you go into fusion. That's what Guru Yoga is about. You fuse with the master's consciousness. And the amazing thing is that this is not just a poetic thing. Oh, you are fusing with Osho, you're getting close. This really happens. So Swaram, the more you meditate and the more you do listening to the videos of Osho, you will gradually go into fusion with the master's consciousness. And that will become so intense that sometimes people will look at you and they will see Osho's face blending over your face.
When we were in London, Chetan and I used to organize events and run meditations, and we inspired, well, I would say many people got inspired just by this energy of meditation and energy of Osho, that 90% of our friends, they took sannyas, or off they went to India and Pune, and so they really got transformed and touched by Osho, and that's amazing.
That's wonderful. So what I can say to you, as you said correctly, that is very difficult to hold the focus. But let's remember something that is very, very important. You probably have seen the movies The Matrix. The movies The Matrix, in a way, are very, very real. And The Matrix has an intention. And the intention of The Matrix is to make you think that the things that are trivial are important, and that which is really important is trivial. Therefore, the matrix function is to distract you from that which is truly, truly important. And the one thing that is most important is that you find out who you really are. And who you really are is a Buddha. Who you really are is infinite consciousness. Who you really are is no mind. The moment you understand that, your focus on meditation becomes paramount. And meditation becomes the most important thing in the world, because you understand this is about my relationship with the cosmos. This is about my relationship with the source of life. I need to find a Buddha, I need to find meditation, and I need to meditate as much as possible. And everything else becomes considerably less important. Everything else becomes unimportant. I was just lucky that this kind of a shift of consciousness happened to me when I was 20 years old.
Well, this is incredible, and I totally agree with you, and that's the reason why I try try to listen to Osho on a regular basis and connect with sannyasins and meditate every day and wear my mala, because it's so difficult on a daily life when you go to work and then you know there are politics at work, there are issues at work, and then you know there are financial issues, you know, all the normal things that we all experience in daily life, and then it's so easy to get lost and think that that's are the important things, where the important thing are others. And that's why when you listen to a real master, he puts you back on track. And that's what you just right. did now. So it's not about those more superficial things. Of course, everything helps, finding the time, this and that. But it's more about focusing your attention on what really counts in life. And meditation is top priority. Number one is your consciousness, finding out who you are. And it's great that you're bringing this up and bring clarity, because that's what really matters.
I would like to tell you another story, which may be helpful for your listeners. It's a story of Buddha, of his own effort. We remember that Buddha was very seriously engaged in effort, and he was meditating. He went under the tree, and he said, "I will not rise from under this tree until I am enlightened." And so he meditated and meditated with an absolutely superhuman focus, superhuman effort. And the story goes that the god of death and illusion, Mara, was watching Buddha getting close to enlightenment. And Mara doesn't like people to become enlightened. Mara is the matrix. The matrix and Mara is the same thing. Mara was sending him distractions. He sent him beautiful women, money, power, fame, and he said, "Well, if you take that, you know, you'll be very, very happy." And Buddha ignored it. This is a very important story. And the reason why this is an important story is Mara is not an outside god. Mara is the mind in your head. Mara is the mind that in your head that says, "Oh, all these things are very important. You have to take care of these things." Mara is distraction. Mara is distraction, the force of distraction. And that brings us back to remembering that we as human beings, we are creatures of polarity. We're creatures of yes and no. We're creatures of acceptance and resistance. So it is very, very important that we become conscious of when we say, "Yes, I want to meditate." There's also a voice inside that says, "Well, I don't want to meditate." And that you really become conscious of the voices of resistance, so that you don't follow those voices of resistance anymore. And you make meditation, you make going home to the source, going home to no mind. You make that the most important thing in life, without being distracted.
Yeah, and I'm very familiar with my Mara and my distracting forces, and I want to meditate, but I also don't want to meditate, and sometimes I give up on that, I have to say. I find excuses, I'm tired and this and that, and I just, you know, put on Netflix and just get lost there instead of meditating.
It's really important to identify this force inside us. Everybody has that force, but the moment you become conscious of it, then you take control and you no more follow that force that stops you.
Yeah, that's very, very valuable. So, Karunesh, I am aware that you're very active. You have a YouTube channel, you have a radio show, and you run meditation events, etc., etc. So I personally would love to attend one of yours. You know, just listening to you, talking to you in a very short span of time, I trust you, you know. So if people who are listening here are interested in your activities and would love to perhaps join you or find out more about you, do you have a website?
Yeah, just go to my website, go to my YouTube. You can find me on YouTube. You can find me on the net, you know, and especially you can find me on Osho News. So if you go to Osho News, you'll find many articles on Karuna by Karunesh, and you'll find many links that will take you to Karunesh, what he does. Osho News.
Great. Yeah, Osho News. We interviewed Punya and Bhagwati, both of them. They run Osho News, and Vin as well, who helped a lot to set it up and contribute. So that's amazing. Okay, that's great. And I'll link your website.
I'm a fan of Punya. I like Punya, and I guess Punya likes me. She has all kinds of articles. I think 6 or 7 articles at Osho News. So all you have to do is go to Osho News and click Karunesh and you'll find it.
Ah, that's great. Okay, Karunesh, look, we are heading towards the end of the show. And before we finish, I've got 3 final questions for you.
Okay.
The first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
I get up, I have tea, I meditate.
That's it, simple. And I guess you meditate for hours?
I meditate if I can. I meditate 5 or 6 hours a day, and then I work. But I have to say to you, working means is I go and teach meditation. Working means I go and give individual sessions. Working means is I sing mantras for 2 hours in an individual session with a person. You heard me sing the gachamis. Singing mantras is what I do very, very heavily. So my individual sessions would be a person is on the massage table and I sing mantras over them for 1.5 hours and I touch them very lightly. And what that does is it transmits meditation. And when you sing mantras for 1.5 hours or somebody sings mantras over you 1.5 hours, you go into a very, very deep meditation. So that's part of my day.
Okay, so basically you meditate all day long. Got it.
Okay, yes, so the second... That's nothing else. That's
great.
It.
Great. So the second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
That's a good question. I do have several different meditations that I work with. Okay, number one, I just told you mantra meditation is very, very important because it's the mantra. When you sing mantra, it's the vibration that creates the meditation. It's not your concentration. It's not your focus. So I do mantras a lot. Okay. I do like Nada Brahma also a lot. But one of the other meditations, I work with 3 or 4 different meditations. So I have to tell you, it's not just any single one. But mantra is very important because mantra creates the meditation through the vibration. But one of the meditations that's very, very important is I fall back. Now listen carefully. This is very difficult to understand. I fall back into my own being to contact and meet with the inner observer. Osho talks about that a lot. Osho says, observe, observe. So that is Gyan Yoga. It is in the observing the presence that is there. What inside you exists and what inside myself observes. In other words, whatever experience I have in life, there is an observer who observes the experience. So I focus on who observes. You could say I find and feel, who am I? Who observes every experience? Who observes my thoughts? Who observes this dialogue with Swaram? Who observes who is present, who is in, who is here? That's one of my favorites. So I fall back to the observer. That's an important meditation.
Okay, that's great. So the last question is, you lived the Osho experiment. You were one of the pioneers in the movement of creating a new man, Zorba the Buddha. What does it mean to you to be with Osho today in 2018?
To give a possibility to meet Osho, to teach his teachings the best I know how. I am a disciple of Osho, and I have now actually done something that you might find unusual. I am giving out malas these days, and that's not something that I'd ever thought I would do. But because I have been meditating a lot, I began to see malas around people's necks, and I was really, really surprised. And so I give malas to people who I recognize to be lovers of Osho. When I realized that the people that I teach meditation have dreams of Osho, and that is what's happening. There are people that I work with, I teach them meditation, and they start having dreams of Osho. And when I see that they have dreams of Osho, I give them the Osho mala. And that's a great source of joy for me. I talk about Osho, I talk about my experiences with Osho, and I say, well, you know, after 42 years of being with Osho, the amazing thing is that I feel more connected than ever.
Well, that's amazing. Well, thank you so much for your beautiful answer. And it's been a great, great pleasure connecting with you, talking with you and collecting your testimonies and your stories and your insights. And I've learned a lot, especially on the Buddha Saranangacchami. That was really great for me to learn and clarify, because I also got confused. And I love you singing the mantra for us and for me, and so that's lovely. Thank you so much. So that's the end of the show, Karunesh. I send you lots of love, a big hug, and yeah, I hope to meet you one day.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Swaram.
Okay, so lots of love and big hug.
Thank you so much. And one final message to your listeners. Sing the Osho Sharanam Gacchami. If you sing Osho Sharanam Gacchami, that is pure Guru Yoga, and it will connect you with Osho.
Great. That's a great way to end the podcast, connecting with Osho.
Can I sing it one last time?
Oh, please do.
Osho Sharanam Gacchami, Osho Sharanam Gacchami, Osho Sharanam Gacchami.
Thank you for listening to the Love Osho podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. Visit loveosho.com for new episodes, blogs, and much more.